Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Welcome to episode 126 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only podcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm definitely rolling, man. I've been going at 100 miles an hour, but we'll get to that here in a minute. But as always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. All those seeds we got over there, balling, y'all. And you might want to consider getting some for all the reasons we typically cite in every episode. Additionally, all your water harvesting needs, you know, they got you covered over there. All the things that we showed you that you can do yourself, do yourself. But the things you can't buy, get them there. Freeze dried, off the hook, good Christian company. And once again, like all of our advertisers on this show, they don't seek me out. I seek them out. Simply because I like what they do, I like their product, and it actually works. If you'd like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app where you can listen to all your pimp cast. Oh, did I say pimp cast? Podcasts over there. You can listen to them all. You can double up the speed, and if you'd like, you can drop some sets on a P-I-M-P.
Okay. Have you ever thought about what it's like to be the first person or the first time ever hearing this podcast?
I did.
And you hear first 2 minutes, 15 seconds, and you're like, I heard the Gap Band, they're tipping pimps, they're turning simps into pimps, something to do with soap somehow.
No, yeah. You know, I wonder actually how many people, because honestly, in the homestead community, a lot of them tend to be the very, and I don't mean any offense by this. They tend to be the very milquetoast type. Yeah. And, you know, these types of podcasts tend to be rather milquetoast. And there's subjects they will not touch, they will not cover, they will not talk about. And I'm not holding it against them. I'm just saying, within what they understand,
farmers and pimps don't usually live in the same community.
That's exactly why, son. That's exactly why we're blowing up, is because, as you and I both agreed when we started this whole thing, the last thing I wanted to do is do something like everybody else. Last thing we wanted to do, and I'm like, okay, we're going to push it. We're going to make it edgy. We're going to make it, and when I say make it edgy, I'm not saying just be gratuitously vulgar or anything like that. It was like, you know, cover some things that you're not necessarily always going to hear in a podcast.
Well, speaking your mind now is edgy.
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it. And that's exactly where, and that's why in the beginning now, if I can remember it, I remember to say where PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion, because I am reasonably sure there are a number of people my age and older that have tuned out the second they heard the beginning of it.
Oh, there's people my age that I'm sure tuned out the second they heard. I guess it's not really stuck to an age group. People are just looking to be offended now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, on Instagram the other, I guess we're in the farm news. Yep. Like on Instagram the other day, there was something we posted in the story, and it said, like, kill all pedophiles, something like that. That should be a statement everybody can agree upon. But the next post we had, the next short we had, some lady got on there and commented, was like, what's the deal with the kill all pedophiles thing you had on your story? People are just looking to be offended.
Yeah, I see that all the way around, and that's all the more reason why I'm going to push the gas in the opposite direction.
Christian woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she says she is.
Yeah, go check out Leviticus 20.
Well,
it tells you exactly what to do.
Well, that's exactly where I'm really hoping, and I know that we're going to have overlap with the people out there. Look, we're not going to sit here and bite our tongues. I know what's happening. I know there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a tamp down, and we're already seeing it to a certain extent. You know, like on YouTube, they'll let the actual algorithm do what it's supposed to do, and then all of a sudden they throttle you back, where you may be getting 1,500 to 2,000 subscribers a day, and then all of a sudden you drop back to 34. So I'm like, okay, I know what they're doing. I know there's a consequence to doing this. If we wanted to have the most popular farm podcast, YouTube channel out there, I guarantee I could do what a lot of the others do. I could sit here and certainly not all of them, but some of the big ones out there, they're either using the sympathy card or the, hey, here's what I found and you need to be, deathly afraid of it. I could be doing all that stuff. And believe me, I have a background in media. I'm not just a journeyman electrician, not just a permaculture designer. I wore a lot of hats, and I was once a talk radio host that pretty much had the sun and moon thrown at me if I was willing to play ball. That's ages ago. But the point being, I know exactly what I would have to do to go ahead and put butts in seats, but that's really not the case here. Our goal is to drop, and I pray about this, y'all, I mean it, is to make sure that we are absolutely positively putting out the best we can put out. Not worried about algorithms. It doesn't hurt if it gets seen. I mean, obviously we want that to happen, and we're hoping people go out there and tell other people about it. And by the way, if you give us a 5-star review, y'all, no matter where you're listening, go over there, do that. Tell everybody you know. We are definitely, clearly, without a doubt, not your typical farm podcast. And it's designed to be that way because, honestly, what encouragement, what cause would you even want to listen if we're just saying what everybody else is out there saying? Yeah. So, son, I couldn't agree with you more. So, I'm telling you, I honestly thought that same thing. I'm like, man, I wonder how many people tune out.
Yeah.
It's already happened. I know it's happened because I've been told. I've been told like, may your chains set lightly upon you. Yeah. I'm not going to convince you of anything you're already offended about. And like you said, these days, not trying to reach out to the easily offended, not trying to even change anybody's mind at this point.
No.
I'm really not. I'm really, really not. There was a guy on with Stu Peters a while back, and he's like an insurance actuary, and he's given like the numbers of, all these deaths that supposedly don't have a reason for them. And I don't know how he said it, but I'll paraphrase it. It was basically like, hey, I'm well beyond the point of trying to convince anybody. If at this point, like your mom always says, your mom says it all the time.
Yeah.
She's like, if you went through COVID, how are you not preparing?
Yeah. How are you at least not suspicious?
How are you not preparing?
Yeah.
Your mom says it all the time. And then over and over and over again, I see people I know, constant vacation, doing absolutely nothing. And then when things jump off, I guarantee they're going to be calling here and I'm not going to answer the phone.
I don't think anybody will be. I don't think anybody's going to have the opportunity to.
Well, who knows, depending on how it goes down. So we'll cover some of the other farm news. Well, William,
me.
If you don't know, that's him. we just spent a pretty good piece of today building a loft up in the barn for hay.
Yeah. Yeah. We built a little hay loft. Some of it was out of scrap material. Some of it was out of some brand new material. By the way, lumber is insane. The prices on, it's just, it's like everything at Lowe's has just seemed to skyrocket. And then if you try to like support your local lumber mill in town or something like that, they double the price because you don't have to go to a big city because they're doubling the price for convenience.
Yeah. And they're going to pay the piper on that too, because there's some things I know what they cost.
Right.
And I know your markup isn't twice what the big boys are charging. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to help you go out of business, because if that's what you're pulling, because I know doggone well, there's certain things, like I went to go get a water hose at one of the local places.
Yep.
And, you wanted $100 for a hose that they had at Lowe's for $60.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not like you're buying a handmade tool or something like that.
Right.
Like a handmade axe. And you're paying this person because he spent 10 hours making this axe. That's not the difference. It's the same hose, just sold by different people.
Yeah. Well, got no short of hose out there, and they're all in D.C. So, that kind of hose, yeah. Yeah, so we were out there putting this thing together. We able to put up a lot of hay. We got room for a lot more. Yeah. And that's one of the things, even though we've stockpiled, I guarantee I've stockpiled more than enough forage. The thing is we're doing it like, we do it the way we always do. We don't We try not, whenever we're going to make a compost pile and we got to get leaves or whatever else, we try not to get those leaves. We try never to rob fertility from our property. Same goes for hay. So we're getting that hay, not knowing what kind of garbage they're going to pull this year. So I got more than enough storage, stored stockpiled forage for the winter. Should be perfectly fine. But the scams and schemes these clowns are pulling today, you can't be too prepared. And plus,
yeah.
I know that there are areas that we can recover, and I know it's going to work best when we have, you know, some really good hay that hasn't been sprayed with a bunch of garbage.
Right.
So that's what we were working on today. And then preparedness is full tilt preparedness all the time around here. And if you got to be told the reasons why, folks, I don't know what to tell you. I got a email. Probably going to cover this. This was kind of unexpected. I almost slipped up and said where it came from. I'm not allowed to tell, but this is a person that's in the know, and he dropped something regarding our supply chains. I'll cover that in the good news, bad news section.
Okay.
But it's something that kind of just recently kind of came up, so I'm going to add that in there. You want to stick around for that. But in addition to all that, son, what have you been doing? You've been doing a lot of microscope work, huh?
Yeah, I've been trying to do full-blown assessments on the microscope work, which it consists of like the full process of a soil analysis. So you take your soil, put it in your test tubes, all that stuff, make a dilution. So that way you can put it on a slide, look at it under the microscope, record your numbers, and then enter your numbers into SMAP. And by
far, they don't know what SMAP is, son.
SMAP is like a,
it's basically a
program. I don't know what it is. The hardest doggone part is SMAP.
Well, the SMAP is basically a program where you put in your data, and it collates that data and spits out what that data actually means. Now, you could do this all by hand, but it'll take you forever and a day. It's basically a program that takes all your standard deviations, all those things, and it puts it together in a report that's readable.
Right. And SMAP is the hardest part. All the like microscopy work and stuff like that, that part is fun. And like you're kind of going through like a little safari just on a very, very small like level. But yeah, I like it. It's fun.
Yeah. So he's been doing a lot of that. I haven't been having much of a chance because I'm trying to just keep my head above water, trying to do the things I'm trying to do around here like everybody else, and trying to make bone sauce in between the raindrops that they seem to want to. It'll be zero chance. I go out there and make some bone sauce, and then here comes the rain.
Yeah, I was about to say, Dad, there's a chance of rain right now.
Yeah, I know. And I already started it, so I prayed, and hopefully the good Lord will see me through. So as far as he's studying on that, I've been doing more and more Bible study, and how I've been doing that is literally, as I'm working, I've been known to listen to podcasts all day, but what I've noticed this phenomenon that happens. I usually start the day off doing my Bible study and all that kind of stuff, and things are great. And then as the day creeps on, I notice that I'm less in the spirit. You know, if that makes sense, some folks out there are going to know exactly what I mean. And I was like, okay, let me change things up and see what happens here. So lately, throughout the day, I may listen to a podcast, but I've been slipping in some of the audio Bible as I'm working out there. Like today, I was going through the book of James and 1 Peter. And I was doing that, and I'm like, okay, man, I'm doing so much better. And I've been focusing on a lot of really good things. Checking out this Dr. Joe Dispenza. Michelle, your mom bought a course, and we're checking it out. I need to make sure I send that over to Eric, too, by the way. And it seems to be rather lengthy. And it's a matter of rewiring your mind to be more positive about the things in the world. And it affects everything in you. So I have been doing that lately, especially in these times. I'm like, look, man, as far as I'm concerned, my life is forfeit. And I need to be setting up treasure in heaven. And that's exactly what I'm working on. And I think I did a few. When I was out and about yesterday, it was the one time I can remember going to Asheville and coming home in a fantastic mood. While I was there, I helped out a couple of old folks in Lowe's when I was there.
Yeah.
Man, this guy, he was on oxygen the whole nine yards, and his wife, she was over here trying to pick up these 60-pound concrete bags. I'm like, oh, no, man, stand aside. I got this for you.
Yeah.
So I get over there, put these guns on it, and get them all loaded up. And I'm like, okay, well, only kind of half did it, man. Yeah, how are they going to get them unloaded?
Yeah. How they That's gonna what get... I was thinking.
I'm like, man, I don't even know who's going to push this cart. So, yeah, here I was patting myself on the back, and then I'm like, okay, kind of half did it. So, yeah, it's a lot of that going on right now, getting, you know, compost. We've covered on Patreon, and we covered it the other day on poop. Now, it's not going to be the most popular video in the world because what's so fun about talking about poop? But honestly, it is the backbone to so many things. It's a video I've been wanting to do forever and a day. And folks, if you're going to make compost, you want to make sure, look, through the composting process, you can tie up all those bad things. You can do that. But it's going to set you back in terms of time. So if you can possibly do it, because I get this question a lot, if you can possibly do it, get poop, even if it means you only use one animal, maybe two. You're better off using one animal that you know has clean manure that doesn't have any junk in it than going to ones that do.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people who commented on that last video talking about how they like have rabbit poop collecting days just for their compost.
Yeah,
we need to get some dog on rabbits.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. We're going to try to do something of a racking house.
Yeah, we can get them to poop right in a bucket.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do that. It's, you know, it's just managing all the other things at the same time. And speaking of managing things, we got a couple of things coming up. And first is Back to the Land, September 22nd through the 24th. I'll be doing a book signing there along with Matt Hunley. And look forward to see a lot of you there. Also, Mountain Readiness. Now, that one's pretty close to us. That's only like an hour and a half. A lot of awesome things going to be going on out there. That's October 22nd or 20th through the 22nd. Kentucky Sustainable Living. In fact, Mountain Readiness is also doing a fundraiser for Caleb House. And Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's October 28th, 29th. All these I'm going to be at, despite having said that I wasn't going to do anything this year. yeah. So I'm going to be at all three of those. And Kentucky Sustainable Living, they're going to be doing a VIP dinner. And all the proceeds are going to go to Vets for Child Rescue. So be there, be square.
There's also a farm where you live down in Clemson, South Carolina. The affiliate thing, the affiliate link that we have, I can't get to work. I don't know what's going on with that, but it will still be linked down in the description
below.
Do we have
a date on that?
I can find out real quick.
Well,
if you wanna...
I'll tell you what, just do it after the break because we're going to go into Pastor Lon here in a second here. So, folks, he's going to come back and give you all the information on that. But until then, I want you to check out my pastor, the Homesteading Pastor. Check him out on YouTube and subscribe.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul speaking to the Corinthian folks here, he's basically telling them that he's afraid that if they're not careful, that just like the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunningness and his craftiness, that their minds could be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of the gospel, from the simplicity of their sincere and pure devotion to Jesus Christ. You see, man has complicated the word of God a lot more than it should be. The truth contained in God's word should always be presented in a simplistic and understandable way. You see, we want the hearers to understand and respond to the gospel. We need to simplify it. The ability to simplify simply means to eliminate the unnecessary so that the necessary may speak to the people.
Bam! Homesteading Pastor, y'all, go check him out on YouTube. You'll be glad you did. And that's another thing I did, son. Every day, if Pastor Lon put out anything here as of late, for some reason, I don't get the notifications. And then also Pastor David Langford, Voice of Evangelism. I was trying to get everybody over there. Go subscribe to his YouTube channel as well, folks, on both of them. They're not the kind of pastors that are going to be tickling your ears. So if you're expecting to hear some Joel Osteen stuff, you better keep on trucking, nephew, because you ain't going to hear it there. You're going to hear it cold, straight, and to the point, just the way I like it.
The dates for the Farm Where You Live event is October 6th and October 7th. The VIP dinner and stuff like that is October 6th. And then the event is October 7th. So that'll be linked down below.
Yeah, Joel Salatin, the pimp daddy of Polyface, is going to be there himself. And you want to be there, be square. Good folks. Good place. I wish we could be there. I'm just going to be up to my eyeballs. All right, so bad news, good news section for the new folks here. For every one bad news, I'm going to give you two good. Today's going to be a little bit different, though, because at a couple of, man, it was crazy. I got one in from Chef Snow, and then I got one in from my insider that I can't tell who it is.
Hold on, Dad. We should stop saying this show is going to be different. There aren't two of these shows that are alike.
Well, that's a fact. You got that right. So check this one out. I'm only going to kind of, man, I can't. Do you remember when environmentalists loved trees? Now they want to destroy them all to stop climate change. How about that? So you got that polecat Bill Gates. He's wanting to plow over, I don't even know how, 70 million acres of forest. 70 million acres. Because they may actually catch on fire and, you know, put a lot of carbon in the atmosphere. How about that?
What is there a name for the term whenever they do like an event? And a bunch of people raise their hand in like approval, and they're just trying to see who's going to raise their hand in approval. Is there like a title for that event?
Yeah, there is, but I don't know. I don't recall.
That's what that seems like. It's like, all right, who's the dumbest of the left?
No, let's find out. They will quick. Actually. All you need is somebody that's noted, that's touted. Anybody on MSNBC or CNN, they come out there and say, "Hey, we really need to burn down all these trees." I guarantee it. Look, it ain't the forest fires. It's the lack of clearing. All you need to do is run pigs and goats through these woods half the time, and you wouldn't. And half these fires are started deliberately.
Yeah, and the forest fires just need to be managed, not eliminated by any means. But this contradicts their whole theory of like there being too much CO2. What eats CO2? Even Bill Nye agrees with this. Trees.
Yeah. Well, good luck on the common sense. And speaking of lack thereof, this is the other bad news section. And I had to put this one in. Chef Snow sent this to me, and it's from The Defender. And check this out, son. You're going to like this one based on what we just talked about. Genetically modified soil microbes may have irreversible consequences, new report shows. So you got agro companies, and I use that term loosely, basically out there saying, okay, when we're looking under the microscope, clearly we're looking at microbes.
Yeah.
Okay, they have a function, they have a purpose. We have a whole soil food web. We have bacteria and fungi, and they get eaten by protozoa and nematodes.
Yep, I bet the negative ones that they're sending out are nematodes.
Yeah.
Because look, okay, every potted bat or every bag of soil that we tested so far, every one of them seemed to have had some sort of nematode extraction.
Yeah, but
like no other soil life, like nematodes eat bacteria and fungi and stuff like that. They need prey to prey upon. The prey's not there, but there's nematodes somehow.
How do they get there?
Exactly.
Yeah, because there's no chain, there's no web, there's no nothing in that bag.
Yeah.
But denuded soil. But like you said, they just throw a bunch of nematode extractions in there. And all I know, dude, is good night. I mean, Jesus, come quickly, because, and I mean that, folks, because they're doing this stuff down to the level. The nanoscale.
Yeah.
They're really doing it down to that level. Now, granted, our microscopes, we can't look that fine. I mean, we don't have a scanning electron microscope around here, but.
Or gold dust to spare.
No. I mean, the fact of it is that when you get down to brass tacks with all this stuff, it's like, man, what? We're down to our last inch of skin, and you can't get anybody to care.
Yeah. And then the mosquitoes Bill Gates is releasing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're attacking us from every angle.
Every single angle you can possibly imagine.
Already won, though.
That's right. Amen to that. All right, y'all, here's some good news. So Eric Adams says New York City's migrant crisis will destroy the Big Apple, as he warns that 10,000 illegals, asylum seekers arriving every month will flood each of the five boroughs. The city we knew are about to lose, and he's practically in tears when he says it.
We've been trying to tell y'all.
Trying to tell you. So now all of a sudden, and then check this out. My friend, my army buddy, who is really in the know back there in Massachusetts, he gave me a heads up regarding all the illegals that are happening over there. And it's gotten so bad, they had to stuff them into these military bases that were mothballed.
Oh, wow.
And they got them in there. And he says, dude, they're all over the streets. You know, it's just absolutely crazy. And nobody's doing anything about it. Instead of Abbott shipping them all up there, which I think is absolutely part of a big scheme, Here's an idea. Put the Texas National Guard on the border, and let's just see how well they can cross there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're already on the payroll. They're already being paid.
Yeah.
You might as well put them to use.
Here's some more good news. So parents and school officials of a small Irish town unite to ban smartphones for children, anybody under 13.
Oh, well, what? How are they going to unite and decide something like that, but they can't figure out, well, first of all, the whole education system there? Like, it seems like they're focusing on something minor.
Well, it's a small town. It's a tiny small town. Said, look, we don't want anything to do with your garbage. We're basically saying, hey, your tablets and all that stuff you're using in school ain't going to have it.
All right. Sounds like a good warm-up.
Yeah. Now, here's some of the weird news. Now, this was sent to me. I had to do this under condition of anonymity. But here's something that you haven't yet heard in the mainstream, and I don't doubt that you're going to hear it. Son, don't say who that is.
But
basically,
Dad, do you know how much information you just showed me?
Well, I was hoping you'd look at the top of the page, but basically, there are, how do I put it this way? So lack of rainfall apparently is happening everywhere. Well, right now in the Panama Canal, they're in a serious bind. And instead of ships being able to go through there, I mean, this is like an emergency management order from an organization that would be very, very close to the know down there. This just came out yesterday. And basically, the Panama Canal, for those that don't know, basically allows traffic to go from the Pacific to the Atlantic. Okay? Been there. Spent a lot of time there. Loved it there. Even considered moving there before moving to North Carolina. I mean, that was honestly one of the places we seriously thought about moving. Because for me, I was thinking, oh, shoot, man, we could be up in the mountains. 70 degrees up there. There's a place where it's 70 degrees every single day of the year. Okay, wonderful. You got one ocean, the Pacific on one side, the Atlantic on the other. But I'm sitting there thinking, man, only downside is, dude, what are them clunker boats? What kind of junk are they spilling all throughout that thing? You know, I've been snorkeling all down through there. You know, long story, but here's what they're saying. Lack of rainfall is actually messing them up down there too. And they're like, vessel after vessel after vessel that are booked to go through that canal, but are not able to do it. And of course, that is one major shipping route to get things from one side of the planet to the other. So now they're going to have to start using the Suez Canal or the Cape of Good Hope. And we're talking miles and miles and miles of extra transport that wasn't exactly accounted for. Not only is that going to mean difference in your pocket, but also the items showing up in the store. Now, is this contrived? I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah.
Based on everything else, I'm like, okay, you mean to tell me you got a water on each side. You're telling me they can't get some ocean water up in there?
I thought oceans were rising lately.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? Yeah, so that was some of that insider knowledge.
And now the food's going to show up very expired. I don't know if anybody's noticed like how expired the food has been in the grocery stores.
Yeah, have you talked about that yet?
I can't remember if I have or not, but yeah, the food in the grocery stores is consistently expired.
Yeah.
Like we have to, my wife, Emily, already checked like expiration dates more frequently than I did. I check like milk, you know what I mean? And she checks the expiration date on everything. And there was one time where she asked me to go to the store. I came back and almost everything I purchased was expired. It was like salad dress. I mean, stuff that shouldn't have gone expired. It's like they're keeping that stock and then like pushing it forward. It's been a little weird.
Well, I've noticed that in the dairy section. Good night, man. I mean, you always should check your dairy anyway.
Yeah.
But I was sitting here looking at, like, your mom likes that plain Siggy's yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And
cottage cheese also. That was another one that was
everything they had up in there. All the stuff facing out in the front, every bit of it was expired. And then they didn't just put it behind, man. They stuck it plumb to the back.
Yep.
I'm sitting up here practically climbing on things to try to get some of this stuff out of the back to get her yogurt. I'm like, okay, let me get back here. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're hoping, I think most people do check the dates, at least when it comes to dairy, eggs, right, things like that.
Yeah, you know? Stuff like that. But I mean, if you buy, like, for example, if you buy a box of crackers, how often are you checking the date on
that? Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
Those are expired. How on earth is that expired? Shouldn't that have gone through the whole supply chain already?
Yeah, I would. Man, there's some weird stuff going on, folks.
Yeah.
That's exactly why we're saying, y'all, stay alert, stay alive, and get prepared as much as you possibly can, because things are getting real.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, make it now. This comes directly from the Permaculture Designer's Manual by Bill Mollison, because I couldn't say it any better than he's written. The sad reality is that we are in danger of perishing from our own stupidity and lack of personal responsibility to life. If we become extinct because of factors beyond our control, then we can at least die with pride in ourselves. But to create a mess in which we perish by our own inaction makes nonsense of our claims to consciousness and morality. There is too much contemporary evidence of ecological disaster which appalls me, and it should frighten you too. Our consumptive lifestyle has led us to the very brink of annihilation. We have expanded our right to live on Earth to an entitlement to conquer the Earth. Yet conquerors of nature always lose. To accumulate wealth, power, or land beyond one's needs in a limited world is to be truly immoral, be it as an individual, an institution, or a nation state. What we have done, we can undo. There is no longer time to waste, nor any need to accumulate more evidence of disasters. The time for action is here. I deeply believe that people are the only critical resource needed by people. We ourselves, if we organize our talents, are sufficient to each other. What is more, we will either survive together or none of us will survive. To fight between ourselves is as stupid and wasteful as it is to fight during times of natural disasters when everyone's cooperation is vital. A person of courage today is a person of peace. The courage we need is to refuse authority and to accept only personally responsible decisions. Like war, growth at any cost is an outmoded and discredited concept. It is therefore our only possible decision to withhold all support for destructive systems and to cease to invest our lives in our own annihilation. The prime directive of permaculture. The only ethical decision is to take responsibility for our own existence and that of our children. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, like the Prime Directive t-shirt, or permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Man, we could have done a whole show based on what Eric just covered there.
Yeah.
So, son, did anything, we kind of glared at each other at the same time when he got to one part. You want to tell what that was?
Whenever Bill Mollison flat out just said, don't trust the government.
Don't trust the government. Now, all you other folks in there, you folks, you other permaculture practitioners. Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm going to refrain from calling them that for the time being. But did you hear what he said there? Don't believe the BS from your government, because who do you think? Okay, everybody's all out for the military. You know, we love the military, but they're number one polluter on the planet.
Yeah.
The number
they
one.
They just don't. Well, actually, yeah, they do it here. Yeah, I was going to say they burn all the trash overseas, but I guess they're polluting here as much.
We don't even have. It is mind-boggling to me how many people are just willing to fall lockstep, just like Bill's saying there.
Yeah.
I didn't know Eric was going to say any of that, but I mean, it goes right back to burning down the trees. If these same people, if they were told by some authority figure, hey, we need to go burn all these trees down. It's going to save all the... I guarantee they would fall hook, line, and sinker. And a lot of the people that claim to love permaculture, they'd be the first ones in line.
Yeah, they would be.
Yeah, but there was a whole lot there, man. Thanks a lot, Eric. Go check him out, y'all. Great dude. Great information. I mean, you know, mentor, friend of the family, you name it, man. All around fantastic guy. Go check out his YouTube channel. Go subscribe. You'll be glad you did. All right, before we get into it, EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Do I even need to go through it? Do I even need to tell you all the things that are going on in this earth? But in addition to the EMP, think about what it does. It's a lightning arrestor on your house. We've had a lot of that here lately. And in fact, my little puppy, he's down there kind of cowering because of all the lightning. Poor but if it hits your house and you have an EMP shield, you're covered. Up to 25 G's. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield. All right, with that, we're going to jump right into the main gig. And good night. Folks, how do I say it any other way than don't make it fancy. Just make it easy. I'm going to start. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story here. Okay, years ago, back when I was working on my tools, doing electric work, for those that don't know, I'm also a journeyman electrician. IBEW, journeyman electrician, been one for a long time, 25 years. So, check this out. I remember doing work at GM years ago, and there was this German engineer there. Typically, really, really awesome engineers. I'm running some, at the time, there was a lot of plug-and-play kind of stuff at GM, and there still is. But they needed a conduit or a raceway, a means to get one thing across this area to another. And I'm running the pipe. And it's a pretty good-sized pipe, and it had to be, in that particular area, it had to be made out of rigid pipe, which means you're going to cut thread pipe the whole nine yards. You got to bend it, which these days is a pretty, it's a dying art. But back then, you know, it was pretty ubiquitous. A lot of people knew how to do it. And it's one of the things I love doing and I'm really good at. So anyway, running this pipe and this engineer, I get it all done and he comes over. First of all, he's not supposed to be talking to me anyway, but he's asking, did you have to run it this way? I'm like, yeah, it's the most direct route. It's out of the way. What's the big deal? And
he ain't supposed to be talking to me anyway.
No, he's not. I mean, if he has, you don't talk to the guy doing the work. He's got to go talk to, I mean,
I just can imagine the response. Like, you ain't even supposed to talk to me.
Well, the truth is, no. I mean, if you got something else, go talk to my foreman. You don't go talk to me. I mean, you don't tell me how to do this. I get laid out by my foreman. So anyway, I'm over here looking at this thing. Foreman comes over there after an hour, and I was working with this guy, Randy. He comes over, he says, all right, man, we're going to have to, I think it was four pipes all together that were, you know, concentric bends and stuff like that. And they said, look, guys, we're going to have to do this another way. And the way he told us, I'm like, well, why would we do it that way? You got to add another bend to the pipe, which means the wire is going to be even harder to pull.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, this guy, he just think it looks awesome to have more bends in it.
What?
I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? He says, man, you ain't even going to believe this, but this guy thinks that it's more impressive to see more sweeping bends. I'm like, did you go and tell this dude that the National Electric Code says you can't have 360 degrees without a box in there? And we ain't got no boxes, man. You got to straighten this out. He's like, dude, look, man, it came down from on high. I'm like, all right. So we went ahead and tore it all out, and it's aggravating. There ain't nothing. Every craftsman out there is going to give me a solemn amen.
Matter of fact, comment it on the YouTube channel. Amen.
Solid amen for what I'm about to say. And I don't care if it's man, woman, whatever. If you're a craftsperson, there is nothing you hate more than having to redo something.
And it's not your fault.
Even if it was your fault, you hate redoing anything. You hate it with a passion. That's why there's a lot of guys out there, guys I know in the electrical trade, won't do new residential if certain types of people are involved. People that like to change their minds, and they don't care how much you're paying them. They hate moving anything. And here I am. I'm doing something totally idiotic because this German engineer, nothing, hey, I know we got German fans out there, nothing against you guys. You got the best engineers in the world. But the point being, this clown thought it would look more picturesque. I'm like, dude, I am not fusing DNA here, man.
And who even pays attention to that unless you put it up?
Apparently he did.
And anybody who put it up, who puts that type of stuff up, is going to look up there and be like, what the heck?
So it was all said and done. Okay, same thing happened. I was working at a powerhouse in Iatan, Missouri. Same exact thing happened all over again. Another thing altogether. Won't go through the story, but it's happened over and over and over again. So why am I saying this? Because it also applies on the farm. Joel Salatin, the pimp daddy of Polyface himself, has talked about this extensively, even written about it. That at the end of the day, just like, you know, this loft we just put up out there.
Yeah.
It ain't pretty, but it ain't ugly either. I mean, it's functional. You know, everything's level. It's plumb. It's what it ought to be. But anybody walking in there would think, oh man, that, you know, it's a bunch of scrap material. You got this, you got that. It doesn't look wonderful, but at the end of the day, do the cows care? Do the chickens care? Do the microbes that are not genetically engineered in my compost care? No, they don't. I need some place to be able to do something that's functional. So folks, if you're one of the people out there that feels like you got to wait till all your ducks are in a row, you got to wait till, oh, gee, this chicken tractor's got to look a certain way. Son, we know of a person who built a chicken house that was like the Taj Mahal of chicken houses. People don't even live in houses this big.
Yeah, the dude who moved that thing even commented on how heavy that doggone chicken tractor or the chicken house was. And he moves like mobile homes and stuff for people.
He had to move this chicken house from one place to the other. Had to move it from one place to the other. And this thing was like so overbuilt and ridiculous. Look, how much money was in that thing? I'm sure I do not know. But it was a fortune.
Had it was shingles.
Yes.
Had full-blown shingles.
Full-blown shingles up on top of this thing. Some shangles, man. Just couldn't use some. Unbelievable.
The most efficient, just to hit that nail home, the most efficient machine on earth is an overshot water wheel. And it's the simplest machine on earth. It is one spinning, I mean, for the most part, it's one spinning motion. It is one wheel spinning because of the waters flowing over the top of it.
You know, I've seen a lot of things fall apart. And frankly, you'll see this a lot in terms of people that forward up on homesteads. One family hooks up with another. And you have different ethics on how things should be built. Look, I'm not for putting up shoddy stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're putting up a shade for your animals, like that sheep tractor out there, man, your mom has that thing so janky looking, man, it looks like something straight out of Sanford and Son. It bothers me a little bit because I'm like, it doesn't need all this extra. The sheep don't care. They don't need.
Right.
Yeah. You know, she's like overdoing it on that. But it's not so overdone that it's becoming a pain in the keister. Thing is, all you need is something, if it's shade or wind or rain protection, it just needs to serve that function. You don't need to go through and spend tons of material, tons of time, tons of effort. And frankly, if you're working with people like that, man, that can really make things go old very quick. Now, if you have the means and the ability and the capability to do all these things, to make it look really nice. Okay, if you got the time, go for it. But most of us have more time than money these days. I've seen people spend unbelievable amounts of money because maybe they lived in an HOA, and I understand you got to work within certain rules or whatever, and they built these monstrosities for these animals that really just boggle the mind.
Yeah, yeah. Permaculture should be very, very simple. We're looking for the most efficient systems possible. And in order to find that, we can't have some complicated, like somebody, you should be able to bring somebody onto your farm, explain what should get done, and they should be able to do that. Not get completely confused and overwhelmed with what's going on.
Well, look at Joel's place. I mean, what did his structures look like?
Yeah, very simple. And they've served the function.
Functional. Yeah, that's all that really matters when you get down to brass tacks for a lot of this stuff. Now, it's going to fly right in the face of me as a craftsman, because if I'm out being paid to do electrical work, trust me, that ethic goes out the window.
Yeah.
That's a totally different ball of wax. And I'm not one of those guys who's going to be like, well, you can't see it from my house. No, if I do it, it's going to be done the best I can possibly do it. And it will be done in accordance to the way a craftsman should, because I'm being paid for a certain quality of work. It needs to look right, and most importantly, it needs to be functional. And on a homestead, it's kind of hard to turn off that part of your brain if you work as a craftsman. It's hard to, I'm not going to intentionally put something up that isn't plumb or level. But really, at the end of the day, if you already have a structure on your property, like some folks I knew were going to tear down a completely good barn.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Instead of just shoring it up where it needed it, you're going to tear this whole thing down just to go put up another barn in the same footprint that's going to cost you a fortune. Is that worth it? Look, that's really the topic I wanted to cover here. It doesn't need to be fancy, just functional. Now, that same thing can apply to people. It could also apply to some of the livestock. Now, what I'm going to mean by that is,
well, we need the people to be a little bit more than just functional.
No. You're absolutely right. That's why I'm going to go into this. You know, people are looking for fancy, highfalutin breeds a lot of times,
right,
when all you need is just a good old-fashioned laying hen. You're worried about spending all this money to go out there and go get some highfalutin whatever, because it's highly touted, or it makes another color egg. I don't care what color the eggs are. They taste the same.
They do. Yeah,
they do. They don't taste any different. Ostrich egg tastes just like a chicken egg. Yeah, it does. Turkey egg tastes just like a chicken egg. Now, duck eggs, I think they're way richer. I mean, that's a whole different ball of wax right there. You start messing with duck eggs, okay, that's something altogether. But the point being is that, is it really worth it to go out there and spend a fortune on this fancy blah, 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 newfangled chicken out there? Or do you want to do it for the latest this or that? Like Joel talks about, he's worried about phenotype. He couldn't care less.
Yeah. Or you're importing or going to sales barns and stuff like that for this specific breed of chicken. Meanwhile, five neighbors you drove past all have chickens that do very, very well in that area.
Absolutely. Or cows or pigs.
Yeah.
Or people saying, I got to have this. This is why Joel, when he talks all the time about, you know, hey, what breed? He's like, I don't care. All I care about is phenotype. Are you going to work? Are you going to do the function? So don't look for fancy breeds. It works the same exact way, y'all. There's so many of us that are getting bound up because you got to have this pig, because you got to have that chicken, because you got to have this. Just get something that is functional. And 9 times out of 10, I will bet any amount of money, no matter where you live, the highfalutin breeds are not the ones that do well there.
No. And
in most cases.
And I can't think of a case where it has. Like, I can't think of a case where some high-prized heritage breed wasn't a disappointment to the majority of the people.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue on with this regarding people. Well, before I get there, let me talk about your vehicles. You think you're happy. I remember guys used to make fun of me all the time back when I was still working.
Yeah.
I drove around old trucks. I drove around. Every vehicle I had was old, and they still are. And do I need anything more than functional? Because like I told this one guy, you know what? This $3,000 truck that I paid cash for, do you think you're happier in that $60,000 automobile of yours that you had make? And I couldn't believe, man, these guys are making payments.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes weekly.
Yeah.
They got a weekly truck payment. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I knew this moron Trevor got his truck repoed 3 times in a month. y'all know, I told y'all about it. I couldn't even, it happened in Paducah, Kentucky, and it happened in, where were we, in Elizabethtown, Kentucky? Oh, man.
Tennessee? Or was it Kentucky?
It was Kentucky. Okay. E-Town, Kentucky, I believe is where it was, what they called it. I mean, this clown got his truck repoed 3 times in a month.
Man.
And we were making nice money out there, but yeah, when you got.
That's an example of somebody who kept it too simple.
Yeah. But the point being is all the guys that would make fun of me. And there were some out there like, oh, man, you make good money. Why don't you go get a new truck? Well, I want a new life.
Yeah.
That's why I'm out there getting a new truck. That's why I'm saving my money. That's because it means more to me to be able to live the life I want to live. And, you know what, I like to think that maybe I made a good influence on a lot of guys out there that rethought their spending.
Yeah. Spend $60,000 on a truck if that's where you want to live.
Or spend $60,000. Maybe it's a work truck. Maybe you need it for that the kind of work you do.
Right.
Like your Uncle Dion, you know, he has an expensive truck, but he does a lot of work in it. You know, that's one thing. People. Now, this is going to, when I say don't make it fancy, man, I might get myself in some trouble with this one. But a lot of you guys are out there looking for a homestead honey, but you wound up with a homestead hussy. Maybe you didn't marry her yet. And ladies, you're out there looking for some guy you think is going to be, you know, your version of a permaculture. Well, I better not say it that way. But honestly, you're out there looking for all these bells and whistles in a person, but maybe you're looking at the wrong qualities. Just like we talked about, get an animal that's functional. Maybe get a human being that has a higher concern for the things in this world than worrying about what the next sports game numbers are going to be. You know, you get a guy just because he looked the part, he looked cute or whatever, but you can't have a conversation about anything of consequence because you were too busy looking at the bells and whistles.
Same thing, I think, goes for double the other way. All the guys out there who marry dumb, intentionally dumb women because they're nice to look at.
Well, I don't care what you I never understood that. What do you want, a beautiful idiot? I never understood that, but it's really an extension of all this stuff. I went a little farther, and I'm going to cut it off right there because I'm going to wind up saying things I shouldn't probably say, probably get myself in trouble since when do I ever care about that sort of thing. But like I said, A lot of you guys out there, you're looking for a homestead honey. You wound up with a homestead huzzy. Man, that probably ought to be on a shirt.
Also, make sure you're a permaculture pimp first before you go out looking for a homestead honey.
Okay, I wasn't going to actually. That was exactly what I was avoiding saying because, I mean, it could be misunderstood. And what I'm trying to say is you might want to have a good understanding on just like functional people around you. And it not only applies to maybe a potential spouse, but also the people you choose to work with. Make sure they have a work ethic. Make sure they're not going to be like my family where they just show up as soon as the harvest is ready. Yeah. Hey, where's my share? What do you mean your share?
Yeah.
I don't recall you being here for any of this. All right. So with that, y'all, we're going to go straight into my man, Chef Snow. Let's see what he's got to say, y'all.
Hey, it's Chef Keith Snow with your PimpCast tip of the day. This is about being thrifty. I'm going to give you two quick examples. Number one is coffee grounds. Every morning I brew a pot of my brown duck coffee, and it's a pretty big filter filled with coffee grounds at the end. Now I use a non-bleached coffee filter. So the filter and the grounds, I toss them into a bucket. And then I later, because I'm in just a house, I don't have a big homestead, but I use that to amend soil later on. And coffee grounds can be useful in compost. So keep that in mind. Also, I do suggest becoming a Patreon member of Permapastures Farm, where they will teach you a lot about composting. Secondly, what about fruit? Now, we have a lot of fruit at our house. We buy fruit, sometimes too much fruit. And if the kids and my wife and I don't eat it fast enough, it starts to get a little soft. I'm sure many of you have this problem yourself. Instead of throwing it away, what I do is toss it into a little pot. Last week it was strawberries. I just washed them, plucked off the stems. They all went into a little sauce pot over a medium heat, a couple teaspoons of sugar, pinch of Celtic salt, and a little squeeze of lime juice. Excuse me, that was lemon juice. Lime would work too, but anyway, cook it for about 15 or 20 minutes until they break down, mash them. Then I refrigerate that. The next time I make yogurt, I've got strawberry for the bottom of my yogurt cups, and that is a great way to use up things that you would throw away. Now, I want to encourage all of you to check out foodstoragefeast.com. You can join that website for $2.99 a month. I teach you how to cook amazing meals with simple store-bought foods like rice and beans and wheat and oats and pasta. So do check that out. I want to thank the entire team. I know it's only three of them, but the good folks at Permapastures Farm for letting me contribute. Hope you all have a great day. Take care.
Great as always to hear from Chef Snow. Great tips as always.
Yeah.
Food Storage Feast, y'all. You want to get over there, check it out. In fact, I need to get over there and really put foot to butt on that, because if things go down the way I'm thinking, we're going to be glad all those tips. Good night, y'all.
Yeah, he makes me want yogurt now.
You know, I know he's trying to find property nearby.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm thinking, man.
We have to open a restaurant then.
Yeah. Well, he's got to open one. I mean, maybe he'd want to go food truck, man, because basically a lot of the restaurant tours I know in Asheville right now, dude, they are losing their butt because the city is,
cook better food.
No. Well, what I'm saying is they are doing everything they can to put folks out of business.
Okay. You want to know, they're not helping. Asheville. Yeah. The people in Asheville aren't helping themselves though. Whenever you do your card reader and all that stuff, you're paying for your meal. And the first option to tip is 25%. You just guaranteed yourself like no tip and you did nothing. And I came and picked it up. Like what? They're not helping themselves. So I you can only feel so bad for them in Asheville.
Well, the thing
and also the quality of the food has completely dropped off since we moved here.
That's true. That's true. You know, the thing that burns me up is I think we forgot what the whole purpose of a tip was. I remember all through COVID, they were like asking for a tip on the front end. I'm like, well, I don't know how the service was. I mean, believe me. Hey, y'all, let me just say this. Man, I'm going to go sideways here, but I'm just going to go ahead and cover it. A lot of black folks don't tip, and it burns me up. It burns me up to no end. You will run a waitress ragged and then not tip. There is nothing that pisses me off more than people that mistreat wait staff and stuff like that. I over tip. When Oprah has done shows on why black people don't tip, You know there's a problem out there. And it's like a big, you'll sit here and run a waitress ragged, don't tip, and then you want to complain on top of it. Man, y'all, I'm telling you what, if I own a restaurant,
people are saying
ain't going to be in business long, Jack.
People are saying the Palpatine, do it. Do it again.
No, man. I'm telling you, a lot of folks don't know what that means.
Yes, they do.
At the end of the day, the thing that I don't even know how I got on this, but no, going to these restaurants, I'm a person that tips entirely too much. I go get my hair cut. I tip. They're falling over themselves to come get me because they know I tip well. I go to the same place, and those girls are fighting over who's going to cut my hair because...
You're going to tell them where you go, Dad, to get a haircut?
Don't do that. But what I'm saying is, where I go to get my hair cut, they're fighting over themselves because they know I tip very well. And then when I'm in a restaurant, I tip very well. But I got to say, man, there's a point of aggravation where you're asking me, I just went up to the register, ordered a meal that I'm going to pull out of there. And you're like, would you like to tip? What? Hold on. I don't even know what the service was. I don't even know what the food's like. When did the whole notion of tipping, when did that all change?
Yeah, or tipping the kitchen staff. That doesn't make any sense either, because it's like, so there's some places in Asheville or near Asheville, like Weaverville or something like that, where you go up, you pay, and then they have the tip option on the screen and all that stuff, and then they'll have a jar right next to it, tips for the kitchen. Like, aren't y'all getting paid like an hourly wage? Why are you guys getting I got to find out first if it's even deserving of a tip.
That's why I love Canadians, man. Because typically, I mean, when I was up here in Canada, I couldn't figure out whenever go fishing up here. Couldn't figure out why those ladies in there loved us so much is because we tipped. I mean, they're already paid a livable wage, as I understand it.
Yeah.
So they're not really expecting tips. But, I mean, man, we were tipping like we were in the States, dude. And they were, every time we'd go in the steak joint, dude, they were like, oh, yeah, hey, yeah, we'll wait on y'all. I was like, boy, I love these Canadians. Look how friendly they are. Well, and they are anyway. But point being is that, man, dude, don't get me started on the whole tip thing. But here lately, man, it's just kind of gotten out of control. I don't know how we got on that. Anyway, y'all, Harvest Right freeze dryers, we got a link for them down below. If you need one, you might want to think about it. If you can't afford one, maybe you want to check out Heaven's Harvest. So freeze dried all the way around. We run that thing as often as we possibly can. And make it. Take Chef Snow's advice. First of all, go to Chef Snow. Get a subscription over there. Cook what he tells you to cook and then put it in your freeze dryer. Put it away for your family when they start dropping these bombs. Or when hordes of hordes from Mexico or wherever else, or even from the Great White North, man. When they start coming across, maybe you can feed them on the way to your house.
Yeah.
Kidding. All right, so got one here. It was forwarded from your mom. Just received my second jar of bone sauce. I used the first jar, which I ordered back 2 years ago, on over 20 newly planted fruit trees. Worked like a charm with 100% success. Okay, that's awesome. Even used it on a 4-year-old pear that continuously got browsed by a deer. The tree was finally left alone and almost shot up about 10 feet. Your bone sauce is definitely better than advertised. Hey, thank you so much, Thomas, up from Northeastern PA.
Oh, wow. If it's doing well in Pennsylvania, that's a really good sign. Got one on the fountain app now that it's fixed from Dog On It Girl, I think. Oh, my word. 50 pound of Trombaccino squash picked today without even trying. Another 30 are still on the vine. Previously picked 25 pound off the same plant a couple weeks ago. I have given 10 away to friends, neighbors, and total strangers driving by. Those that you better not throw it at them. Those didn't get weighed. I took some to Quail Con last weekend in Ohio and fed them to the 18 coonies they have on the property, and those were some happy pigs. This should be called the blessing squash. # squash mania, # tip a pimp, # too big to tuck.
Bam. Yeah, Kazuzi squashes, Trombaccinos, man, all those. And those Kazuzis I got from Ben Holler at the Holler Homestead. And boy, they're pretty prolific too. I remember he gave me one last year. They came by, they dropped off one of those squashes and saved the seeds from that thing. Got some going up the hill right now.
Yeah.
So right here, Billy. So my wife placed an order for Comfrey and the book, and we thank you guys. I thank so many people out there for not only buying the book, which is still available. Well, it's not available. We sold out, actually, but we got more coming.
So, well, we sold out through the website where you can have dad sign it and everything, but it's still available on scrapsitting.com.
Yep. You still go over there if you like, but we're ordering more. We'll see what happens. Was also wondering, planting comfrey between the fruit trees is best. Our soil is about 6.5 pH. Yeah. We put that comfrey everywhere. Yeah. Around every tree has at least, in the very least, we never put less than two. And it usually has about four if we can manage it around every single tree, every bush, you name it. I mean, comfrey, we grow that stuff. I mean, our money's where our mouth is, honestly. Everybody that comes here, they're floored at how much comfrey there is, and it's still not enough.
Yeah, Ben Holler and them, when they came over that one time, they could see the comfrey in the dark. They could see how much comfrey there was.
Yeah. So we definitely use it. I mean, primarily for chop and drop, we feed it to the animals every single day. We make the hay out of it. I mean, we really do use that stuff like nobody's business. And that's why we want it to become so ubiquitous that we can't sell it.
Got one from Eric Sider on the Fountain app. Bill Mollison said, you're always going to be on a hamster wheel, so it's best to get a second one up to speed that you can jump across to instead of hitting the ground. I have definitely not taken this advice in the past and have stayed on a job or project until I was burnt out, so I had to quit with no alternative. Fabric pots are a great way to start growing trees and shrubs that you can transplant when you get on land, something I'm doing now that I wish I had started sooner.
Yeah,
Eric, that's a good point, though, is like get something started before you transition over or before you get burnt out.
That's my dog. All right, April says, just a quick note and encourage your family. We keep your family picture that you sent out with your with our comfrey purchase on our fridge. It's a reminder to keep y'all in our prayers every day. My goodness, man, that was like the sweetest thing. Yeah. Thank you so much, April. And we pray for y'all, too. We do. We pray that the information we put out is a blessing to you. And we pray that I never, ever, ever, that we never forget, ever, number one, where we came from. Most importantly, that we are servants of the Most High. Where we came from, and never, no matter the degree of success or whatever, but to be, like Paul says, to be content in all things. You know, if all this is taken away, that we're still content. And also remember that it's a high responsibility to be out here putting this information out. So the more notoriety, the more whatever, people notice who we are or whatever, I feel a greater degree of responsibility. And I'm not saying, gee, I need to cash in on this. That never crosses my mind, not ever. It's like, man, I really need to know. I need to know what I'm talking about, and I need to know good ways to convey this information. And yes, we do pray for you guys out there. And thank you so much, April. I truly appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. I got one from Janu on the YouTube channel. Some people say quail can be raised in your garage and even in an HOA situation. You get small eggs and meat. That's not a bad idea.
I think Jack Spearco's talked about that quite a bit.
My father-in-law, he either raised quail or pheasant down in Texas. I can't remember which one, but he had them in a pretty small area. It didn't take much space at all.
Yeah, quail didn't take much at all. I think Jack Spearco's talked a lot about that, too, on the Survival Podcast. Ryan Armstrong says, fellas, just a quick funny one for you guys. A few nights ago, I was putting my four-year-old daughter to bed, and as soon as we were done with our bedtime prayer, she asked, Daddy, how do our chickens pray at night? Dumbfounded, I told her she was going to have to ask the preacher on that one. He says, heads up, William, you're going to be prepared for the little one.
That's cute. How do the chickens pray?
Yeah.
Got one from Laurel Anderson on the YouTube channel. Do we have anyone at all to vote for?
Dr. Shiva. I'm going to say the only one.
I haven't listened to that interview yet, but I have an alternative answer as well. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say, well, first of all, none of the above would be okay. I know there's some people out there tickling the ears. There's some sycophants on the stage. I don't trust any of them. They're all polecats. And I don't want anybody to lose hope, so I'm not going to tell you historically. Prepare. That's all I'm going to tell you. Prepare. Because the only one that I'm seeing that is of any note, he's never going to see the light of day, and that's Dr. Shiva. And a lot of the other people in there are all bought and paid for. I truly believe that. no matter where they are in this thing. I truly, honestly believe that. That's why I'm telling you, prepare, stay alert, stay alive.
Joel Thomas from Kill the Mockingbird said something the other day that really clicked. And he was saying that he was tired of hearing people saying that they're voting for the lesser of two evils. And his point was that you're still voting for evil. You're still, and this goes back to a previous conversation that we had on the Pimpcast, you're giving them license. You're giving them approval. You're relieving them of what they think is karmic debt. Like, you're giving them the ability because you voted for that person. You're proving what they're going to do because you know that, A, they're probably up to no good because you're voting for the lesser of two evils, and you just gave them your okay.
Well, that's not a exclusive thing to Joel. That's a pretty popular statement that voting for the lesser of two evils still voting just for evil. But the point,
hearing him say that was what, like, it clicked in my head. But like, you're giving them approval.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying regarding the karmic debt, regarding how they see it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't trust any of them up there. The only one that has a track record that I think I would trust would be, I mean, and there's even things about him I am sure that I do not like. Dr. Shiva would be the only one, and like I said, nobody's ever even heard of him. But at the end of the day, I'm not looking for any of these people. I know what happens to empires. I know what happens to empires, especially decadent empires, especially ones that are, you know, I constantly think of that movie 300. Remember where that senator sold him out, and then Leonidas' wife kills the guy in the Senate floor.
Yeah.
And all this gold from the Persians comes falling out of the guy's gullet or his bag, wherever it was. She basically jigged him with that knife, and next thing you know, he falls down dead on the Senate floor. And all that, and then all the lucre, the filthy lucre that he had, it rolls out on the floor. So I think that's exactly what we have going on. I think that is true to life in terms of we have all these senators, Congress people, whatever the case may be, they are all sold out. You have every world leader. Okay, let's just put this into perspective. Every single world leader, for the most part, got online to jab their population. The only ones that didn't were African leaders, and all of them came up mysteriously dead. All the ones that said, like that one African leader, I can't remember from where, sent off a goat flesh and sent off a papaya, and it came back positive.
Or also Putin, didn't he reject it?
No, his people got it too.
Oh.
And now what version of it, we don't know. But basically the entire, so you got to be asking yourself, who's pulling these strings? Where are these puppet strings at? You know, you're not going to tell me that a farmer in the highlands of North Carolina can figure these things out, but these people that everybody wants to highly tout can't?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And everybody, not everybody, but
Or people that have access to information that we're only guessing at.
Yes. Yes. So that's exactly why I'm saying, at the end of the day, I'm not putting any, definitely not putting any faith in man. And honestly, you can't have a society this corrupt. For crying out loud, one of the Proud Boys, who wasn't even in D.C. on January 6th, got 22 years today.
Yeah.
22 years. And then the other guy, Joe Biggs, what did they give him? Like 23 years, something like that? This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But you got this other end of the equation. It's meant to have a chilling effect. And it's meant to give people no hope. And it's working. But I got news for you. And I'm not trying to break anybody's, you know, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything. But the fact of it is, you cannot become this depraved without a calamity. That is the only thing that fixes this level of depravity. Sadly, that is, starvation is the only cure that I know of.
But also the calamity isn't ensuring that it fixes the insanity. It just gives us the opportunity to fix the insanity.
Right.
Because they can, like every other turning, they can take over. They can win this flipping of the table. They can collect more chips than us if we do nothing.
Yeah, if you read the fourth turning by Strauss and Howe, just keep in mind, the good guys don't always win. In these turnings, I'm dead serious. I mean, the good guys don't always win, or who the good guys really are in terms of history is debatable. But the good guys don't always win. So just keep that in mind. So that's why I'm saying, see, just like Eric talked about that prime directive in permaculture, take ownership of yourself, your family, then start working on your communities. Work at that level. But if you're looking at, for a top-down approach to a lot of this stuff, you're never going to find it. I was, you know, just a little side note, and I know this is a little bit out of order, but I was in, I was sitting there talking to the family the other day, and I was like, man, where does the homesteading groups around here meet? I know they got to have them. Here I am the other day, literally yesterday. We just had this conversation, and I'm dropping off something at FedEx. I had to go to the actual FedEx store to drop it off. And as I'm in there, a guy recognizes me and hands me a business card and says, look, hey, here's a homesteading group. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And I thank the Lord as I got out of there. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for these answers to my prayers. And he can be your savior as well, y'all. So, yeah, check this one out. We got one from April. She said, this is another April. Hi, Billy. Enjoyed the interview on the Firmamental podcast. I just interviewed them, by the way. That's going to come out next week. Recommend you watch everything Rob Skiba did on Flat Earth. He even explains the eclipse. Hey, folks, I mean, at the end of the day, I'll be honest with you. I'm still, I wouldn't say agnostic on the whole Flat Earth thing. I do know this, is that all the numbers that they've given us for rise and horizon and all these things, every bit of that is a lie.
Yeah, they got it all wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that they prove the Earth is flat, but what you are proving is everything we're officially told is a lie.
Yeah.
Regarding the Earth, I mean, is it much bigger than they say? Possibly. Is it flat? I don't know. I know this much, that everything that I've officially been told, from the only thing I'm 100% sure of is Jesus is exactly who he said he was.
And I think 100% of the truth, like as far as like what even are we on, what planet is this type thing, I think a revelation of 100% of the truth would reveal that it is all being held together by the word of God.
Absolutely. Read the beginning of John, y'all. In the beginning was the word. And just go through that. Yeah, every bit of it, none of it makes any sense with the excuses they give us. So, yeah, it was a joy to be on there with those guys. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there, and I enjoyed interviewing them. It's, I've been trained as a classical thinker. And like I said, I'm not going to say the earth is flat, but I will say that everything I was told that I can prove is a lie.
Yeah.
I know everything I was told about, just about everything, has been a lie the more I examine it. Even the guys in history that we're told were good guys, when you look, take President Lincoln, for example. I drive people crazy when I say this. Go read the book, The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. Go read that book and tell me if you still think Lincoln was a good guy, because we're using his own documents, his own words,
yeah,
and everybody paints Lincoln. I mean, that guy was about as close to a Mussolini as you were ever going to find.
Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, he was such a wonderful guy. All these other people that they said were bad in history, maybe they weren't. Well, I can't think of a leader that wasn't bad to some extent. But find me one that almost isn't the polar opposite of what they said about him.
Right.
Pretty tough to find.
Yeah. Oh, that's it on my end.
All right. Well, let's see here. I got one from Balake, or Blake, as you may go. Let's see here. This one might take a second. Hey, brother.
That's a reference everybody gets.
Balake.
Yeah.
Blake. Hey, brother. I recently got some feeder pigs to raise. I was watching your video on managing poop. You mentioned the dewormer kills the worms that you want to keep. Well, basically, it kills them all, bro. What you do and what you don't. Do you have any suggestions on deworming pigs without harming the soil, too? Okay. I've had to use ivermectin on pigs before. And, yeah, it works like nobody's business. But when you're in that, we were in a bind where the only pigs we could find had worms in them.
Right. Yeah.
And, so we got them back here. We sequestered them in a place where I know they are not going to leave. And it was basically in this barn. We made sure they were in there forever and a day till all that poop was extracted. We didn't compost it. We didn't do anything to it. It was incinerated at a dump somewhere. Got that stuff out of here. It was in a very confined spot. Once we were reasonably sure, and I'm saying about 6 weeks, then we decided to put them out. Now, are there some of the residues in there? Probably. but nowhere near in the high concentrations at that point.
And but, like, well, an important part is that we also did it while they were still little. So we were still waiting on them to get big enough to put them outside.
Right.
So it's not like we had six full grown pigs.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. So they were in there and they were growing up, and it's usually a clear sign when they won't put on weight a lot of times. And there's other signs too. I mean, you could go through their poop if you're a masochist, but you know, when you get down to brass tacks with pigs, it's always going to be, depending on where you get them from, it's going to be a problem. So what do we do to keep them is my daily protocol when it comes to pigs, because we feed them 100% food scraps usually. And so every single day I will buy a giant bag. Your mom gets it off of Amazon, of pumpkin seeds. Make sure they get a fair amount of pumpkin seeds every day. Some diatomaceous earth sometimes. That definitely helps. Oh, shoot.
Kelp.
Kelp.
Charcoal.
Garlic. Charcoal. That's really what we do. We've never had pigs with worms out in the field.
Rosemary.
Oh, yeah. Rosemary. And it could be that dried rosemary. So that's basically a daily protocol that they get. They get it every single day. The pumpkin seeds are absolutely critical. I've never had a pig get worms after I put them on that protocol. And it's pretty inexpensive, you know, not a big deal.
We've never had a pig get worms. We've always gotten them with worms, yeah.
Yeah, we've got them with worms, but they never made it out they never reacquired them. Because honestly, if we just keep them on that regimen, yeah, they do pretty good. So, Balake, give it a shot, bro. Let's see how that works out for you.
And also keeping them moving. That's an important part as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. So as far as that, now Joel, if you look at Joel's way of his barometer for moving his pigs, it's his feeder. When the feeder goes empty, then it's time to move them to a new paddock. Well, we don't have that luxury because we don't use a feeder. So you got to count on your grazer's eye. So for Joel, it's a great system because when the feeder's out, you know that they've massaged that landscape enough. So then you got to be thinking about where they're going next. So you get them over to the next one and so on and so forth. And, you know, and pigs are going to be, when they're smaller, they might be in a place much, much longer. But as they get to finishing weight, good night, they're going to go through land really, really, really quick.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you stay on top of that, but you got to keep them moving. That's one of the key things right there. And then also we keep them in glens. I mean, their pigs are never in open pasture, which good night, man. Unless you got their noses wrong, man, you know, you never want to do that. Plus you always want to make sure they got shade and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you always want to have a wallow and stuff like that. But we've never had pigs get worm out in the field. We just stay on top of that protocol. All right. We went a little long today, but hopefully that was a blessing to you. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. Remember, give us 5-star reviews. Tell everybody what's going on right here. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. They want to spin up at the center of the nexus. Me.